It's Maryland Morning on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast.
The rich are copying new boats, and we still are using an oven to heat up our houses in the winter while eating our cereal with forks to preserve milk. America still feels like America, a place where you have to pay to play, any and everywhere, even here at our broke-ass card game.
That's Dwight Watkins. He's reading from an essay he wrote for the online magazine Salon, which was published last February. Since then, he's been included in Baltimore Business Journal's 40 Under 40 and written a new book called Cook Up that will be published by Grand Central in January 2016. Watkins writes about the isolating effects of poverty in the East Baltimore neighborhoods where he grew up. The essay was inspired by the selfie, the photo the Danish Prime Minister snapped of herself and President Barack Obama on her cell phone at Nelson Mandela's funeral last December. When we spoke in February, Watkins had this to say.
I walk in between these different worlds. I'm a college professor, and I'm from the street. So it's like I live in two Baltimores. One Baltimore that fully understands what a selfie is. But one of the neighborhoods where I come from, a lot of people don't, because they have cell phones that don't have cameras and work on minutes, and they don't have Instagram accounts, and they don't know about a lot of these things. So I wasn't frustrated with the media attention that it was getting, but I was frustrated at the fact that it's kind of more important than some of the issues that plague poor people every day. In America today, it's more important than people who can't find work.
You write in this essay about you and three friends who get together to play cards every so often. And that's where you're having this conversation about what's a selfie.
What's a selfie, yeah.
Who cares? Is it that they don't connect with pop culture because they don't care, or that they don't have the money to do it?
I think they do care. I think everyone cares about pop culture. I think culture influences us all. But I also feel like they don't really have the means to play. Their reality is different from the reality of a lot of other Americans.
And let me add another factor in here. You're talking about poor African Americans. What role does race play in this isolation?
I think poor is poor. I don't really think race really matters. I do feel like, you know, obviously we know the history of America, how it was established. We know about oppression, white supremacy, how a lot of these organizations have came to be. We know these things, but today poor is poor. Doesn't matter if you're, you know, black, white, whatever. If you don't have, you don't have. And if you don't have, you're spending a lot of your time trying to obtain so that you can survive. So, you know, color doesn't really play a part in survival. You have to survive.
On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. You're listening to our conversation with Dwight Watkins from February. We're talking about an essay he wrote for the online magazine Salon called Too Poor for Pop Culture. Since then, Watkins has been called one of the 40 under 40 by the Baltimore Business Journal, and he's set to have a book titled Cook Up be published by Grand Central in January 2016. I asked him about being a college professor.
Yeah, adjunct.
At Coppin State.
Yeah, and Sir Joyner Douglas College.
Teaching what?
English 101 and 102 at Coppin, and English at Sir Joyner and public speaking. Just started teaching public speaking. I'm learning the game.
And you grew up in East Baltimore?
East Baltimore, all over East Baltimore, many different neighborhoods, up and down Ashland Avenue. Spent a lot of time on Robinson and Jefferson, some time at Lafayette Housing Projects, all over. Family everywhere. I love our city.
And you write in this essay that at one point you were a drug dealer.
Yeah, when I was younger.
How'd you get into that?
I don't want to be cliche or say it's, you know, a typical story, but it's something that everyone in my neighborhood was doing. Everyone wanted money. Everyone wanted nice cars. Everyone wanted to shine. And, you know, McDonald's wasn't able to provide that lifestyle. Heavily influenced by street culture and rap culture in general. Like in my neighborhood, for example, you would think that a lot of kids would look up to movie stars and basketball players and things like that. But in my neighborhood, the heroes were street guys and drug dealers. That was like the people who we had access to, people who we could talk to, the people if we had an issue or if we needed something we could go to. Like they were the mayors of our neighborhoods, and they were the first celebrities that, or pretty much the only celebrities that, because of their lifestyle, that we had access to. So it's almost like a rites of passage in a lot of areas.
You're how old?
33.
And why aren't you a drug dealer anymore?
I came to a point in my life when I realized that, you know, it was wrong and it destroys families and it hurts people, and I was severely depressed, and, you know, I've lost some friends to jail and prison and things like that, and I just had to unlearn and relearn a lot of things. So, you know, I went through a phase of just turning my life around, just going to college and just trying to pull people away from the streets.
I would think it's not easy to get out of the drug game. Was it hard?
It's not as hard as people think it is. Some people just leave, and, you know, and people understand. But basically, this is the problem with just this whole mentality and what we think about the streets in general. Drug dealers are humans. Drug dealers love their children. Drug dealers like to go on dates. Drug dealers like ice cream and donuts. But when you watch the news and when you see these movies and these, you know, these television shows, you know, they have no redeeming qualities. They're just monsters. And people, they think that about people who are really out in the street doing these things, and that's not the case.
It seems to me, you can tell me if I'm wrong, that you, Dwight, have opportunities that the folks you play cards with don't have.
Yes.
So what perspective does that give you on their situation?
I don't think my story is special. Like, I don't think I'm a special person. I think there's so many people who've been through way more things than I've been through. So many people that are poor and lost all their kids to murder, and, you know, people who've been there's so many people who've been through so much. I'm just a person who I write about mine, and that's how I get it out, and then some people are receptive to it. But I'm not more special than a woman who's given a testimony in a church who just lost her son to murder. I'm not more special than some guy who's like, who runs a youth group or some type of organization, or, you know, real activists. Like, I just write about my story and the things that I go through, and hopefully, you know, people will read it, and it would help them to understand, you know, different people from different places. We're all connected and we all go through the same things and we all have a story. And I think everyone's story is important, but I just feel like I don't feel like my story is special. I just think I'm just another guy in America who's just writing about his.
I really appreciate you sharing with us, Dwight.
Thank you.
Dwight Watkins, writer and filmmaker, is an adjunct professor at Coppin State University. He joined me in the studio in February. We have a link to his essay for Salon on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning.